G8 and His Battle Aces, Squadron of Corpses, by Robert Hogan, Chapter 14. Prisoners. TT seemed to G8, as he sprawled behind the fallen body of Big Bull Martin and became entangled in the folds of the blanket, that every German on the Western Front was pouncing down on him. He heard Nippy groan, as two Germans pinned down his arms and grabbed his gun. All the wind went out of G8, as three heavy bodies came crushing down on him. He struggled to get his breath. Couldn't seem to expand his lungs enough to take in any air, because of the weight of the Jerrys on his back. He was staring ahead at that wound in Bull's head that was oozing blood. Was this the end of Bull Martin? Men were piling off of him. He knew they had his automatic, and he had seen them take Bull's. He felt Nippy's body leave his legs. Then he, himself, in the light of what seemed a thousand electric torches, was being jerked to his feet. He saw four of the Boches lift Bull. Two held his arms and two his legs. His body sagged in a sickening manner. A lump rose in G8's throat, as he heard one of the Germans speak. "Och, a bullet in the head. At least, we've killed one of the verdammed Americaner. And the other two." The speaker turned and glared at G8. "It will not be long for them. Herr Dr. Kruger will have his own way of finishing them." G8's teeth clenched at the mention of that hated name. He had escaped Herr Dr. Kruger before. But someday, perhaps, escape would not be so easy. Either Herr Dr. Kruger or G8 must go. There wasn't enough room in the whole world for those two clever, hating enemies. The Germans were carrying Bull ahead, moving across the field. The flames behind them were mounting higher and higher, as the fire closed in on the shack which was to have been the place of their death. The country was illuminated brightly. Two huge guards, one on either side of G8, propelled him in Bull's wake. A few paces behind, Nippy followed, also under guard. G8's head turned and he stared back at Nippy for a moment. Their eyes met, then he moved on. They came to a road that skirted the field. Two cars rolled up. G8 saw Bull being lifted into the first. He couldn't be sure, because the light from the leaping flames was dimmer at that distance, but he thought he saw Bull move, as they placed him on the back seat. Or had Bull moved? On second thought he decided that he hadn't. A choked sensation came into his throat again. He and Nippy were being jostled into the rear seat of the other car. Boche soldiers swarmed about the vehicle. The first car with Bull in it rolled away. Likely they were headed for a grave soon to be dug for Bull. Or perhaps a hospital. That last was only a frantic hope. The car bearing Nippy and G8 started off the way Bull's car had traveled. Already that first car was out of sight. In spite of all his frantic hopes, G8 had a lonesome feeling. It didn't help any, either, when he heard Nippy's voice, hoarse and choked. "So long, Bull, sec you in hell." About 2 kilometers up the road, the car turned to the left. It rolled on for a way and then stopped. G8 couldn't see just where they were, because of the blinding flashlights which watched their every move. Germans were standing on either side of the car. Two guards, Lugers held ready, were on the back of the front seat, facing them. "No quarter here, no chance of escape." Then guttural voices sounded from the dark, back beyond those flashlights. The guard seized the Yanks and lifted them out of the car. As the lights shifted, they saw that the car had stopped in front of the large stone building. Men lined a passage up to the front door. G8 and his battle aces passed through that human corridor and on into the building. G8 recognized it at once. They were in a prison. Heavy, steel doors were placed at short intervals along either side of the passage. The German guard who led the way stopped in front of one of the doors. Keys jangled and then scratched in a lock and the door swung open. Still the guards who held them waited. The officer passed through, and his keys jangled again. Then came the creak and groan of heavy hinges, as he swung open a second door. The officer came out and jerked his head toward the Yanks. "Go in now," he said. He leered at them as they passed. "You're going in here, but only for a short time. Herr Dr. Kruger will have something to say to you before you die." Neither G8 nor Nippy seemed to have heard him. They were shot by strong arms through the two open doorways into a small cell. The inner door was closed quickly. A key scratched. They heard the great bolts slide in place. Then they heard the clang of the outer door and, very dimly, the scraping of a key in the lock. Pitch darkness was around them now. For a long moment neither spoke. They simply stood there. Then G8's eyes caught a faint shaft of light coming from the other end of the cell. He could see a red glow through a small opening. He walked across the stone floor. Heard Nippy coming beside him and felt him brush against him. Their eyes became more and more accustomed to the darkness. They had been pretty badly blinded by those flashlights. They saw a narrow slit in the wall opposite the door of the cell. It was almost above their heads. Nippy could just reach it. G8 bent down, grasped the little terrier around the legs and held him up so that he could look out. "See anything?" he asked. Nippy had to clear his throat before he could answer. "Not much," he said huskily. We're apparently on the side of the building away from the forest fire. I can see a red glow in the sky. I can see that through another slit just like this one, which seems to be cut in a corridor at the back here. G8 nodded grimly in the darkness and lowered Nippy to the floor. Double cage, he said half to himself. G8's hands were feeling the narrow slit. It was a little more than 2 inches wide. Hardly large enough for a cat to crawl through, to say nothing of a human being. He hoisted Nippy to it again. Feel around the edge, he said. Maybe you can find a loose rock somewhere. A moment while Nippy made the inspection. Not a chance, he came back. G8 lowered him once more. The slit, Nippy said, is about 2 feet high and about 2 inches wide. It's one solid stone with a slot cut in it. I'd have to do plenty of shrinking before I could get through that. That's about what I figured, G8 admitted. How about the door? Did you notice it particularly when we came in? Yes, Nippy said. Too particularly. I got a glimpse of the keys to get in the first door. Most complicated thing I've ever seen in my life. I could pick at those locks with all the devices known to burglars for the rest of my life and we'd still be in here, if we lived to be 100. G8 didn't answer. He was trying desperately to think up some other way. He heard a sigh come from Nippy's lips. Well, the little terrier observed, I guess we are here until Jerry wants to bring us out. There came a rustling of paper. And then Nippy's voice again in the darkness. At least Jerry left me a pack of crumpled cigarettes and some matches. I suppose that's something to be thankful for. Have one? G8 fumbled until he found the extended cigarette. Then Nippy struck a light. Cigarettes glowed. Nippy held the burning match above his head until it came near burning his fingers. In its light they could see the four walls of the short, narrow cell. They were formed of great, heavy, flat stones. From the left wall two bunks hung. There was no bedding, no mattress. Ouch! Said Nippy and blew out the match. It doesn't look as if there's any chance of burning the place down around us, either. And it doesn't look, G8 added, as though our friend Herr Dr. Kruger expected us to spend much time sleeping here tonight. G8 sat down on the hard steel of the bunk. Neither spoke until they had finished their cigarettes. I wonder, G8 began, just what kind of a trick death the little devil has in mind for us this time. It won't be anything easy, Nippy ventured, like taking gas. And I'll bet he'll be right there to see us squirm, when the end comes. G8 stiffened, then he got up. The sound of a scraping key had come to them. Apparently he isn't going to keep us waiting long, he said. That's something. The inner door of the cell opened. Two men in German uniforms, Lugers in their right hands, flashlights in their left, peered at them. Common, one said, jerking his head backward. Nippy got up from the cot lazily. Don't rush me, Heine, he said, stifling a fake yawn. I was just about to drop off to sleep and now you have to come along. Sleep, left the other guard. Das ist gut. You'll get no more sleep, except the eternal kind, mein Freund. Okay, Nippy yawned again. Let's get started on it, pronto. They moved out in front of the guns and lights of the two guards. Then down the corridor, but not the way they had come earlier in the evening. This way, ordered the first guard, motioning with his flashlight. G8 and Nippy were walking very close together. When they reached a door at the back end of the passage, one of the guards stepped past them and a key turned in the lock. The door opened and the guard stepped aside. G8 and Nippy passed out into the night. Straight ahead, one of the Jerrys said in a hushed voice. G8 strode out at a faster pace. A desperate plan had come to his racing mind. There could be no doubt, they were to die. Might better die fighting, than on some torture rack. He felt Nippy close behind him, and walked still faster. Funny those guards weren't making him go slower. Probably they didn't sense a trick. He whispered to Nippy out of the corner of his mouth without turning his head. When I give the signal, he hissed, drop. Trip these heinies. Get their guns. They passed on, going at a still faster gait. Except for the flame-lit sky, blood red behind them, the night was dark. G8 glanced about him. Not a sign of anyone but the two guards, with their Lugers and flashlights, who were hurrying to keep up with the Yanks. He tensed. Then came his command to Nippy. Drop. To be continued.